Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. All right. Such a good time. I'm looking forward to spending with you tonight. Hallelujah. This is Minister Vaughn Dimas out of sunny San Antonio, Texas, and I'm coming to you live tonight from the Word of God through the voice of Vaughn Ministry. Amen. We're under the umbrella of Turning the Table with Talks with co-founders, my brother, Reggie Harwell, and my sister, Barbara Harwell, forever in our memories, forever in our thoughts. So we come together and we, on this Blog Talk, we are talking about the goodness of the Lord. We're teaching about the goodness of the Lord. And I invite you to come be a part. You can join us in many ways. You can actually call in. The call-in number is 563-999-3699. Again, that call-in number is 563-999-3699. You can also join us if you're logged in online. You can join us in the chat rooms. The chat rooms are open. You can actually speak back to us if you have prayer requests. We encourage you to please leave your prayer requests in the chat rooms. I definitely will get back with you. If you would like to leave your email address or phone number, we can make it even more personal by speaking to each other via phone or, like I said, by an email. Either way, I will get back with you. Amen? Now, sometimes in the day, if we do broadcast, then I would be able to speak to you directly during the time of the show. I have a co-host on, and they can manage the chat room. But our late-night chats and our early morning get-up, rise chats, it is just me, myself, and I. So I do try to check back and forth, and so I may be able to correspond a little bit with you, but actually the Word of God has been given, and so I concentrate on that, okay? And then the last way that you're able to reach out and enjoy any broadcast that is produced here is through the archive. They're all saved. Every one of the broadcasts are saved. So you're able to just log in, select which one you want to listen to, and you can listen to it or download it to MP3 or whatever you want to do. So it's made available to you because the Word of God is just that important. So that's why this ministry, again, is the Word of God. It's all about the Word of God. John 8:32 tells us, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." There's liberty in truth. Liberty, another word, is freedom, right? There's freedom when you can know the truth. Now, sometimes that touches inside of us. And I'm not going to say when you drink down the truth that it's automatically going to spring back up just joy and kindness and you're going to receive it. Because it just depends on what it is touching when it's going down. If you have a lot of stuff that you've been holding on to, bad habits, maybe it's just that envy or jealousy, maybe it's strife. Maybe you're just, the hurt is built up in such a way that it's hard to get the truth in there. It's hard to understand the truth. It's hard to even want the truth to set inside of you now because it's easier to be in denial. It's even easier sometimes to say this did not happen, it's not happening. I'm not going to prepare myself for anything like this to happen. And so sometimes we just refuse the truth for whatever reasons there be because we're human. We're imperfect, and we have ways of dealing with things. And some of us have been dealing with stuff since we were itty-bitty babies, you know? So you got stuff inside of you that you really haven't taken care of, and you're growing older, and you're learning how to act and cover up things, but it's still there. It's still there. It's still going to need to be addressed in order for you to go where you need to go. It's still going to have to be addressed. And you said, it's too hard, Minister Vaughn. I don't want to address it. I don't want to look at those issues. I've made it thus far. I'm doing good by myself. I don't need to go back and look at the abuse. Do you know how hard that must be? I'm confused about the abuse. Sometimes it may be even guilt. I feel guilty about some of the things that happen. And so I would have to look inward. I would have to look at myself. I can't just point the finger at somebody did this to me. I did this to myself, you may be saying. And you say, how do I deal with the fact that I put myself through this? And so that can turn into another total situation from in many circumstances, right? Sometimes it's easier to look at somebody and say, they did this to me. This happened to me. But when we have to look at ourselves, kind of hard. It's harder to look at that. We don't know what else to say. We don't know sometimes, who do we blame? How do I get beyond this guilt? How can I go beyond where I'm at right now? I want to move forward. I really do. I want to move forward. But I'm hurting. I'm hurting. But I feel guilty. But I have some things about me that I've been successful at hiding for so long. I don't want to come out with that. I don't want to share that with anybody. That is just me. I want to stay right here in my secret place. Hallelujah. Right here in my secret place. This is where I want to be. This is where I feel comfortable at. But God has plans for us, right? And his plan is not to hurt us. It's not. Sometimes the world will teach us and we'll even feel like that these plans are to keep me from having fun, to keep me from being popular, is to keep me out of the way of the limelight. It hides me. The word does protect you. It does protect you. He will hide you. Our Heavenly Father will hide you. Because there are attacks that is headed your way, that if he lets you go and you're just out there, no armor, no protection, nobody that you have shared and opened up with, that they're in prayer with you, for you, over you. You're not praying for yourself. The enemy is isolating you. He's telling you that you're the only one in the world that is going through this or going through that. It's a lie. It's a lie. He is the father of lies. What else can he tell, right? What else can he say? There's no truth in him, and he wants you to know. If you stay here in this pity party, I'll stay here with you. But I tell you, if he could show you down the road and you see some of the things that is actually going to take place because of the decisions that you're making today, I promise you, you decide, no, that's not me. I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want to be desperate like that. I don't want my body to have broke down so much that I can't even move. I can't even make decisions now. I'm strung out. I'm dependent on somebody or something. He said, no, I choose not to do those things. So I choose to come clean, come close with it. And then just when you decided that, the world starts putting a stigma on counseling. It starts putting a stigma on the church. It starts showing you all the bad things about it because there are buildings on every corner with all kind of names that you may look at or I may look at and say, oh, that must be a church. That must, but it does not mean that it's the word of God. But the world will show you those buildings. It'll show you those people that are representing that building. And it'll show you how they're flipping and flopping. They have nothing to do with the word of God. That they're representing whatever God they have selected to be with. Therefore, in Hebrew it says, we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard from the word of God, lest we drift away. We'll just drift away. Because we accept this from the world and this from the world, and before you know it, you just drift away, drift right on away. Hallelujah. You just drift right on. It doesn't even bother you anymore. Some of the things, when we first start hearing all of the mass shootings and all of the different things like that, it was like, it really got our attention. It really brought us to our knees. But it's happened so much and so many times because it feels like that we're not coming together as a unit and praying about this continuously. And so now when it happens, we're just like, oh, just another shooting. Oh, it's just not, until it hits your home, until it's your child's school, until it's you in the supermarket, until it comes into your job. Hallelujah. We've got to do better. It's okay. God knows that we're imperfect people. Perfection is found in him. So the closer we get to him, his perfection can fill up our cups, and it overflows onto our communities, onto our schools. So it's not us, but it's he who lives inside of us. So I welcome everyone to the podcast tonight. And I pray that if there's anything that is hindering you today, that's really been on your mind, that every time you try to do something positive, it comes back up again. This is your opportunity to lay it down. Just to lay it down. This is your opportunity to get away from it and just let the world fade away and just say, I'm going to come and see what the Lord has to say to me. I want you to understand that this, again, is the voice of Vaughn, but this is the word of God. I'm a servant that he is using. I'm his beloved child. I know whose I am. And I'm on assignment from him. Yes. I'm on an assignment to give to you what he's given to me to give you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So let's just jump right in, continue where we're at. Let's talk about it, and let's dive into it. You know, one of the things that we do, even as infants, we go through our stages of learning different phases of life. And then we get to that lovely stage where we are taught to talk. We're taught how to talk. Oh, we get excited, right? We as parents, we as grandparents, we get excited. Oh, she said this, he said that. They're talking, right? But then once they get to going, they're just little sponges. And so they don't know exactly what to say. And so some of the things that they say, we have to take a back to. Oh, I say that, but I didn't know this little toddler was going to be saying that. So we have to think twice about it, right? So we're just talking about tonight the same thing. On this journey, you can look at different sources and how they handle things. And sometimes we think that's the way that we want to handle it, right? We think that maybe that's the correct way. What are we talking about? What do I say in this situation? And maybe no one has ever told you. What should you say in different situations? And if you don't have it down in your heart, before that awful thing happens, then whatever is off in there you may have forgot about, but it hasn't forgot about you, it will come out. It will come out. Regardless of where you're at, it will come out. So it's that we need to write the scriptures on the tablets of our hearts when our heart speaks, because out of the abundance, the buildup of whatever's in your heart, that's what your mouth is going to start speaking. Yeah, that's what it's going to start speaking. So we need to make sure that we have what we need. We've got the word of God, and we're not letting different circumstances take us away from the goodness of God. Mm-mm. We can't do it. We just can't afford to do that. We cannot afford to do that. Amen? Amen. So if you agree with me, make sure you say amen. You may be in your car. You may be on your job, on your break, whatever it is. But God sees you. He knows where you're at. He knows your heart. He knows what's going on. So make sure that you know that he's here in this conversation with us. He's right here in the midst of us. Your soul may have been hurting, but this is your day that you can exchange your hurt and allow him to fill you up with joy. He said, I'm not ready to be over this. I'm still mad. I'm still disappointed about what has happened. And you know what? You may still be mad tomorrow and disappointed the next day and can't believe it the day after that. But all of that buildup and stress, our bodies was not created for. So our Creator is just stepping in and saying, let me intervene. I know your makeup. I know your buildup. I created you. You can't take the stress. You can't take all of this heavy load. Your body's not made to carry it. But if you give it to me, the trust in me that I understand, I understand. Sometimes that's a big one too. He said, I don't see anything happening to them. I don't see anything going on. He said, but I got this. Right now, all I need you to see is that this will kill you if you keep trying to take this on by yourself. This will take you away from the ones that you're praying to me saying to bless. You're saying that you love these people, are doing this work, and you love where you're at. I'm trying to intervene because this will separate you. This will lay you down in an early grave. Yeah, I will fight for you. I will fight for you. And all you need to do is hold on to your peace. I will allow you. I will exchange. Give that to me. I give you my peace. Give me your troubles. I give you my love. I want to give you my kindness. I want to give you enough courage that you can stand up. And with the love and the peace and the kindness that I have given to you, now when you speak, you can make a difference in the world. Now when you speak, even your enemies will stop and start to take note of what you're saying. But you can't do any of those things by yourself. That's not your buildup. You wasn't created to. You've got to be able to let go of that in order for me to fill you back up with the things that you need to do, the things that you need to do, to go the places that is in my plans for you to send you. But if you're trying to do it on your own, you're blocking. You're blocking it. Everything is so stopped up, you can't even receive peace. You can't receive kindness. And so it's nothing else for you to do but sit in that corner of pity partying. And you look around and you're all sitting in this party. People have got tired of hearing about it. Yeah, they love you, but they cannot stand to hear it anymore. Because what you're doing when you're continuing to bring up this negativity, you're just going and you've got walking around with your bottle of negativity, your bottle of death. And you're just trying to pour down the throats of everybody who are listening. It's not that they don't love you. It's not that they don't care. It's not that they don't have sympathy for you. It's just now it's time to do something about it. They understand that the Bible tells us that there will be trials. There will be tribulations. That means you're going to be hurt, abused, your name scandalized, misunderstood, all kinds of things. He said, I never thought this would happen to me. Know that you're not the first to say that, and you won't be the last to say it. All kind of different things happen. So let's talk about some of those things. So we're going to turn our Bibles to Exodus. We're in the second book of the Tanakh, which is the Old Testament. And we're talking about, we're looking in the book of Exodus. We're going to go to Exodus 14. Now, I just want to read right now 13 and 14, and we'll do a little discussion about that, and then we'll go further as we go. If you don't have your Bible, that's fine. That's fine. Do you have a pen and paper to write down the verses? Don't let nothing stop you from getting what you need, okay? So if you don't have a Bible, just jot down the verses as the scriptures, as they are given to you. I have them for you, and we can just do that. But the thing is, let nothing separate you. Most of us have phones, right? Almost everyone has a cell phone, and most of them have somewhere on that cell phone, whether you an iPhone or an Android, or, you know, it has somewhere for you to take notes. And so as you find that, come across that, that's fine too. That's fine too. So our message tonight that we're speaking about is don't let yourself talk yourself out of your blessing. I'm repeating your and yourself because I want you to know, look at yourself, self-examination. Now, we're going to talk about a lot of things that have happened by other hands, but we got to start by, if we get ourselves built up, then when things start to happen, we can deal with it. We know how to deal with it. Does it still hurt? Yes. Does it still cause tears? Yes. Does it still cause you, knock you off of your course for a minute? Yes. But when you have a buildup inside of you, trust that the Lord will pick you back up. Trust that he's not going to leave you over in the corner crying about what happened to you. That he'll take everything that was meant for your bad to throw you off course. When we give it over to him, he'll start mixing that stuff together and he'll put his goodness, because all that he gives us is good. Everything that he gives us is good. He said, my God, he allowed my child to die. Yeah, because this is not our home. This is not our home. That is his child before it was our child, right? He said, I'm just letting them come with you for a little bit. I love you so much. I want to share with you. But it's not like I don't ever want my child to come back home. That's his child before it was ours. It's almost like I just let my child come over for a sleepover. But because we live in time, we can think of, oh, when my child goes to a sleepover, it's one night, they come right back home. But God lives in eternity. So one from a thousand is totally different comparison. We can be a thousand years here. It's like one day for him. So he says, so I allowed this mother to come. I answered her prayers, and she was a mother. She was a sister. He was a brother, father, and very good at it. But I need him to come back home, he said. So the moment that we're born, we need to be teaching ourselves. This too will pass. This too will pass. But we don't. We seem to just teach our youth, and we're taught by some parents that this is it. This is our home. This is the greatest place to be. It is great to live life. What an honor it is to live life and be blessed and to just see the blessings and to learn the different things, but our job should be taught from you. There's trials and tribulations. That means there's hardship. There's pain. There are things you don't understand. You must have trust. If you don't know why you're even here, you don't even know that there's a creator of you, as so many in the world are so confused. They have so many distractions. I tell you, it's so many distractions in the world. And it's not just the X-rated place on the corner here, or the liquor store here, or the drug man over there. Those are all obvious distractions. And yet you see people who run to them just like, I got to run to this. And then they're addicted. But there's so many other attractions. Getting caught up on your job and you leave your family behind. But you're making money, but you're leaving your family behind. But you're getting your name out there. But you don't know what your child was even thinking yesterday. You don't even know what they was doing. How was their school? Oh, I asked them, Mr. Bond. They said, okay. That's all they ever want to say is, it was good or it was okay. And you're going about their business and they go ahead about their business. I said, well, why? The reason is because they don't have a communication skill going on between you and them. You have not built anything for them to stand up on. There's no bridge for you all to connect. You're just known by titles. You're the father or you're the mother, and they're the child. I celebrate you on your birthday, celebrate you maybe on Christmas or some other holiday, but then you do you and I do me. You know, it's very sad that sometimes it is people on your job know more about you than your family know about you. You share things with them more than you share with your family. Hallelujah. Let's move on. So again, our title today is Don't Talk Yourself Out of Your Blessing. Some of these distractions will get you so thrown off just because somebody says no. That can be a distraction to make you sit down. That should make you get up. I'm going to get that yes. I know this is part of my plan. I know this is a vision that God gave me. I know this is, I can't move it. I can't shake it. I can't let that no turn me down. That should encourage me, not give me discouragement. So Exodus 13 and 14, the children of Israel were being chased by the Egyptians. Now, I always encourage that you get your own understanding or to reach out. And that's why I leave my email addresses and things like that in the chat rooms, or they're available to anyone, because I want to talk to you if you have some misunderstanding. It's very important that we get an understanding. Go back and read the word for yourself. Again, we're in Exodus. So go back and read the word for yourself. So, again, the children of Israel have been chased by the Egyptians after years and years of slavery, all right? And Pharaoh was ruling. But a time had came, and Moses now has been spoken to by God, and he saw the burning bush, and God has set up order for him to go be the speaker for his people, the Hebrews, okay? And Moses had some second thoughts and, no, I can't. I got a stuttering problem. And he said, I'm going to set your brother up, Aaron, and he's going to be right here with you. So he's going to have his brother. He has his sister, Miriam. And although some different things happen to change their mindset as they go on through the wilderness, but they're going to head out right now. They're breaking the loose. They're going. Moses has spoke, let my people go. And his people are leaving, but not without a fight, okay? But I'm just trying to set the stage and open your eyes so you can be there, so you can see some of this, right? Don't just, not just your ear gates, participate in your vision, okay? Children of Israel were being chased by the Egyptians, Pharaoh and his men, after Moses had demanded Pharaoh to let his people go. So Exodus 14:13-14, Moses told the people, hallelujah, because I don't want to get ahead of myself. Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today, today. Very important. So the Egyptians you see today, Moses is still talking to all those who had fled Egypt. Where are we going, Moses? Look at this. Oh, my goodness. We should have stayed. There later were complained out in the wilderness. Moses says, the Egyptians that you see today, you will never see again. Verse 14 says, the Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. So let's put it back together. Moses told the people who had just fled Egypt, running for safety, who were tired of being slaves, tired of being beaten, tired of being mistreated. Moses had spoke to Pharaoh and demanded, as the Lord had told him, to let his people go. So here they are going. Here they are going. Be careful what you ask for. You got to be able to, hey, trust God and say, through it all, I'm going to trust you. Well, see, you know that he already has the plan. He's not making this up as you go. He knew that your mom was going to die. He knew he was going to call her back home to him. But he also knows that you have a chance to live with her for eternity. That the hurt that you feel right now, the pain that you feel over whatever loss it may be, it won't even compare to the glory that you're going to have inside of you for eternity. for eternity. You won't even think about this pain. This will be so minute. Hallelujah. So the angel Moses is encouraging them, because you see, they're up against the wall. They've been running and running and doing pretty good. But now they have reached the Red Sea. Things is not looking as good as what they thought it was, okay? He said, again, don't be afraid. What? We've been chased, but Moses is saying, don't be afraid. Just stand still. It's nowhere else to go. They're running on top of each other. They're knocking each other down. What are we going to do? Can you just hear all of the voices over each other? And Moses is telling them, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. So the Egyptians, he's saying, the Egyptians that you see today, you would never see again. So if the Egyptians are quickly approaching them. And Moses is saying, look at them. Don't be afraid to look at them. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. Verse 14 again says, the Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Just stay calm. Just stay calm. Now remember the Israelites, were slaves, not fighters. They were slaves. They weren't fighters. Now, the Message Bible says it this way, verse 13. It says, Moses spoke to the people. Again, he said, don't be afraid. Stand firm and watch God do his work of salvation for you today. You've accepted him as your Lord and personal Savior. He's going to do his work as a Savior today. It says, take a good look at the Egyptians today. Look at that mountain that's standing in your way. Look at those enemies who are persecuting you. Look at those enemies who scandalize in your name. Take a good look at those Egyptians today, for you're never going to see them again. And then verse 14, and we're reading from the Message Bible this time. Verse 14 says, God will fight the battle for you and you. Now, what do you need to do? God will fight the battle for you. Then he says, and you keep your mouth shut. You keep your mouth shut. You're not only scaring yourself and making a crowd of fear, giving them fear. You got to find trust. And if you say that you trust God, you need to keep your mouth shut, because it's just coming out with negative spew that is just going in the atmosphere and destroying everything about it. We've got to learn how to be quiet, how to be silent, how to be still. What Moses is saying, don't be afraid, stand firm and watch God do his work of salvation for you today. He's saying the only way that you're going to be still in a situation like this, the only way that you're not going to be just full of fear that you just run and drown yourself in the sea, you're not even going to be able to see the works of the Lord. The only way that you can be not afraid and stand firm, be silent, is if you keep your mouth shut. Because right now, thing negative that you can think of is in your heart and is building up and is coming out through your mouth. Hallelujah. It's not enough to just say, to stay calm or to be still, but we've got, again, to learn and teach our families when to talk and when to shut your mouth. Now, remember, there's maybe 800 chariots rushing towards them, and Moses is still saying the same thing. Even though it looks like that we're blocked in between the Red Sea and our enemies, he's saying, trust God. That's why you committed yourself to God. That's why you invited him to come and live inside of you, because of being in situations like this. Here you are, 800 chariots are rushing towards you to kill you. No misunderstanding. They're just not trying to take you back to slavery. They're wanting to end your life, unlife you, right? and you were doing pretty good at running. But now, here you are against the Red Sea. What am I supposed to do against this? Moses, the leader, has already been selected and is already given the word of what to do. Now, remember also, we were created with, and God gave us, and we're talking about most. I'm not saying that everyone does, because some people were born with not any of these things we're going to mention. But God gave us two eyes, right? Two ears. He has things he wants us to see, things he wants us to hear. But one mouth. It's better to be thought of as a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. It's better to be thought of, I think she's probably a fool. But then some people open their mouth and it's no doubt, yep, that's it. We always want to talk. Even without thinking, we'll talk. I believe some of our speech is rehearsed. It's as though we're reading from a script, just like a little child. We repeat what we have heard others say. We repeat lines from our favorite TV shows. We repeat lines from our social media creators that we're following, or whatever the world is saying at the time. We start to repeat it. We think we're doing something good because we're saying the latest thing that we need to say. Someone asks you how you're doing today. We don't stop to actually analyze that question and to see just how am I dealing with my circumstances up today. They may not know what's going on in your behind closed doors and in your personal life, but you need to stop and say, how am I handling this today? How am I handling this today? We just jump into the latest or right now in the world. Hey, I'm too blessed to be stressed, right? Or they say, how are you doing today? Girl, I'm blessed and highly favored. Another one that's popular say that, you know, I'm just keeping it real. I'm just keeping it 100, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We have so many things that we are just automatically open our mouth and speak it. We don't think about anything. Is it a time to talk? Should I be silent? Ask myself the question, how am I doing today? And my question to you, ma'am and sir, if you're too blessed to be stressed, if you're blessed and highly favored, if you're just keeping it real, if you're just keeping it 100, then ma'am, sir, why are you thinking about suicide? Why are you thinking about unlifing yourself? Or why are you walking away from your family? Why are you hiding liquid and pill bottles all around your home and your job? Why? Why? You say you're just keeping it real. You say that you're blessed and highly favored. Do you know what it feels like to be highly favored? You say you're too blessed to be stressed, but you got all these negative thoughts in your mind. You got perversion setting up in your mind. Sometimes even over your own children, you're thinking of perverse things to do, acts to perform with them. But you're too blessed to be stressed. You're thinking of just taking yourself out. I tell you why. It's because we've got too comfortable spreading. We've got too comfortable speaking, whether it's the truth or not. We just speak. We've got too comfortable there. That's an area we got to withdraw ourselves from. Sometimes we'll walk around and I literally has ran into a coworker. Just the outside is just telling, shouting and crying what the inside is. Outfit looks good, but it's just not on right today. It's just not fitting right today. Even one person even had on two left shoes. And gave that same answer when asked, how are you doing today? I'm good. Girl, I'm too blessed to be stressed. Oh, I am blessed and highly favored. But why is your outfit all turned around? Do you know that while you're walking funny, it's because you realize you're on two left shoes? Yeah, they both the same color, but that's two different shoes, and they're both from the left. How could you even get here like that? We'll have on two left shoes, thinking our words will hide the hurt that's inside of us. It doesn't. It doesn't. Your inside is just yelling, help, I can't do this. Now your outside won't even play the game with you. It's turning its back on you too. And we can't do this. And some of us that have been coming up with the on the rough side of the mountain, maybe you've been going through some stuff. Somebody said, Minister Vaughn, I've been going through stuff ever since I've been here on this earth. Now see, that means that you're not even able to look now at what God is doing for you, at the bright side. There's some goodness. It's been some good stuff that God has been doing, continues to do for you. Mm-hmm. But now we're holding on to the pain. So our bag of pain is getting so heavy as we throw it over our shoulder. We forget about the good things. We forget about just to get up every day is a blessing. We forget about the job. We forget about your spouse. We forget about your kids. We forget about that illness that just suddenly disappeared. We forget all about that. So you say we've been coming up on the rough side of the mountain. And they're real. That rough side of the mountain is real talk. Or maybe your valley experience with your family or whatever seems like it's just lasting forever. I'm just in this valley forever. The word for today is, again, Exodus 14, 13, and 14. Stay calm. Be still. Keep your mouth shut. Avoid rehearsing in your mind over and over again about the bad situation. Because that's the enemy. That's just as we grow up and stop being able to survive on breast milk, we have to start being like little chickens and become eagles so we can eat some meat, so we can recognize that that is just that's the enemy. That's not for me. That's not from God that has me. Every time I say I'm not thinking about it anymore, I'm not worrying about it anymore, I say I've given it over to God. I prayed about it. And then he starts you right from the beginning, reminding you over again about that bad situation. Now he even will input some things. You should have said that. You know what you should have done? He said, no, no, no. What I should do is remind you, this situation is not covered by the blood of Jesus. So I refuse you, I resist you, and you must flee. And while in the midst of your stillness, I'm just going to be still till I hear from God. Right there in the midst of your stillness, not your confusion. I'm thinking about it one day, I'm not the nuts. Or your confusion where you're cursing God and you're cursing everybody around you and no one can even come to check on you anymore because you're just so confused and nasty and mean. But when you start to be still, right in the midst of your stillness, you will see God fighting for you. Wow. You will see God fighting for you. God is so good. Even if we don't see or feel it at the time, teach yourself to trust God. You're trusting when you get into his word. Trust in him will keep you still. It'll keep you calm. I'm excited to announce that it's going to rain. We don't get a lot of rain here in San Antonio. It's going to rain. He's about to shower down blessings on your life like never before. If you believe it, I want you to receive it by getting ready for it. He said, phew. People have been prophesying this over my life forever. Okay. Maybe you missed the rains that when they did come. Because a prophecy should be able to come true. You should be able to see that prophecy, right? God is not a man that he can lie. So So I'm telling you, wherever you're at in creation, your season of rain may look different from mine, but it's time. Your rough side of the mountains, your valley experience, God said, it's time to lift you up. If you have learned your lesson, you don't have to keep going around that village over and over again, that wilderness over and over again. If you picked up what it is that God was putting down. So I want you to walk like you're victorious, not a victim, in your victory. Start getting used to taking off your mourning clothes. M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. Start taking off those weeping garments. Start walking up out of those pity parties. Start walking like you are. What is it? What is your vision? Do you even have a vision? Have you been lost so long? You don't even know where you want to go and what you're going to look like when you get there. Who's going to be with you? What is your vision? Start walking like you're victorious, not a victim. God has sharpened you while you've been coming up the rough side of the mountain. God has polished you while you've had your valley experiences. And he has kept us for such a season. He's ready to take you to new levels as you're about to enter. But you got to believe it. With no doubt, regardless of what it looks like around you, you got to still believe it. And then prepare yourself to receive it by getting ready for it. You said, I've been waiting on a spouse forever. Well, what does a husband look like? Does he look like where you're at now? Look around you. Is your house ready to prepare and welcome in that wife? Do you have the income to be a provider? What does it look like for you at that angle? You're waiting to be a wife. Are you wife material? Have you even looked up the biblical wifely things? What does it look like? How do you dress? How do you present yourself? Have you cleaned out all the filth and the cussing out of your mouth? Some of the reasons that you've been going up the rough side of the mountain, that you've been in that valley for so long, because God knew you needed some sharpening before you take this position, whatever this next one, whether it's the position of a wife or a husband or in a job or a mother, you needed some sharpening. Life had put some stuff on you that cannot, he refuses to let continue to go generation to generation. So he stopped it right here with you. God has sharpened you. He's polished you. He's kept you for such a season, for such new levels as you're about to enter. And I want to tell you something. You have to learn to keep your mouth shut, and let's talk about that. You cannot tell everyone about your blessing. Sometimes God gives us a little sense, a peek into our future, our vision, and we go tell everybody we know. Everybody we know, and some we don't know. Don't tell everyone about your blessing. Your blessing. You're going to have to learn to keep your mouth shut. You see, his blessings are going to be so good, so good. Others who aren't ready for that blessing will become jealous of you. They will envy you. They will try to block you. It looks like, well, I need to be blessed. Why are they getting blessed like this? Why are they getting all the blessings right now? And they will become envious. They will get jealous. They'll try to block your blessing. How do they know about your blessing? Because you know them. You can expect this behavior from your friends, from foes, the ones who say, no, I'm not your friend. I'm straight up your enemy. Well, you can expect the envy and the jealousy and the blocking from your friends, your foe, and your family. And your family. I tell you this because every time you turn around in this new season that we're walking into going to be a bigger blessing. A bigger blessing. It's enough that a knock people off of their course. But they didn't go up the rough side of the mountain with you. No, they disappeared. They got tired of holding your hand because you was in the valley too long. They said, I got to get away from her. He is too depressed. I got to get away from you. So it's not their time. But this is your blessing. This is between you and God. You know, according to the Hebrew calendar, Rosh Hashanah is the Hebraic New Year. It's quickly approaching here in about 4 days. And the year is 5784. 5784 is approaching. Again, it's the first 2 days of Tishri, which is the seventh month of Hebrew. So beginning at sunset on Friday, September 15th, is the new year, a new beginning. Hallelujah. This is where you come into play. You got to keep your intimacy with Father God intact. It's very important. It's important for each of us to understand God has already did all that needs to be done to bless you. He's already did it. Again, he's not just writing this plan as we go on. It's already done. Long before you were thought of. Now you've got to be able to connect with him in order to receive it. So God has already did all of this that needs to be done. The question is, it's a personable question. And then instead of just talking, I want you to take some time or maybe some days to do a self-inventory and get an answer. Are you ready? Are you ready? We all say, yeah, I'm ready to be blessed. Who don't want to be blessed? Can you handle the blessing? No, what did you learn going up the rough side of the mountain? What did you learn as you were in the valley having that experience over and over, seems like for days? Hallelujah. It's important for each of us to understand that. The God has did all this needs to be done. And now it's up to you to ask yourself the question, are you ready or do you need another go-around in the wilderness? You know, those same Israelites that were in the wilderness, even after God split the Red Sea and gave them out from the 800 chariots that was closing in on them, he gave them the out, opened up the sea for them. They all got through. And everybody else that was attempting to get through, he closed that sea on them. He closed the sea on them. But even after that, they all were not ready to be blessed. They all were not ready to go to the other side of the promised land. This is where they was heading to. God had made a promise. He had told them where he was going to deliver them to. But they didn't trust him enough that all the way that they could believe him. So every time that there was a trial, they cursed God. They, forget this. We should go back. Moses, why did you bring us out here? So they would have to go around the wilderness again, around again, trying to teach a lesson, trying to get them ready that you can't take all of that junk into the promised land. Do you find yourself slaves again? So the question is, are you ready? Or do you need another go-around in the wilderness? You know, again, I know it's easy to say, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready, God. You may be saying that now. But God knows and will rest his blessing on those who can withstand to go where he needs to send you. He will rest His blessing. You ever rest? Just get some good rest. Oh, this feels good. That's how these blessings are going to feel. But he knows if you're truly ready. Hallelujah. He knows. And he will rest his blessings on those who can withstand to go where he needs to be. He needs to send you. He knows that you will go to Nineveh, or you're trying to make a shortcut and go another way. Or you're saying, it's not, all that ain't even needed. I'm not doing that. He knows. He knows what you're saying here. But he looks beyond the outer man, what man looks at the outside. He looks at your heart. You got to have your heart fixed. He's a heart fixer. He's a mind regulator. You can't get by it. You can't fool him. Because he knows places that he has. If you haven't learned what you needed to learn as you were going up the rough side of the mountain, you're just wasting your time, and you're going to have to go up a couple more times. You're going to have to get lost in the wilderness a couple more rounds. Some of the people never even made it to the promised land. They never made it out of their wilderness. But they never got it. He can't send you anywhere if you know you're going to break down at the first trial. He's trying to show you something. But he's only going to rest his blessings on those who are ready for it, who are able to see what he's about to show you as he directs your pathway. But you got to keep your mouth closed. You got to keep your mouth closed. Let's hear from Joseph. Let's hear from Joseph. You know the story of Joseph, and we're going to be in Genesis for the story of Joseph. You know, he was given a dream that was like fire shut up in his bones. Ugh. Like fire shut up in his bones. He could not keep it to himself. He couldn't keep it to himself. He just ran and told his family. Some people say he was arrogant, and so he arrogantly went out to tell them. You know, his siblings at the time, they are the kids of Leah, and then his mother is Leah's sister, Rachel. And so it's just a big thing going on. And right now he's the only child of Rachel, and Leah has many kids. Okay? So we're talking about Joseph, right? And so he had these dreams that it was just like fire shut up in his bones. He just couldn't keep it to himself. So he started to tell those close to him. No, he didn't go down the street telling the neighbors. He was telling those close to him, his family. And that landed him into the pit long before he would be ruler of palace. There was false accusations against him, which tossed him into prison years before. But at the right time for him to be ruler, he was released. He had to praise his way out of the pit because he couldn't keep his mouth closed. Because he couldn't keep his mouth closed. I give you 2 seconds to think about that. A time or a situation where you should have kept your mouth closed, but you dug in deeper, and it didn't get you out. It got you farther in the pit. Hallelujah. It's times happen. We're imperfect people. But God's perfection, what we should be leaning on, hallelujah, is what we should be leaning and trusting as we continue to go. Amen? Amen. Wow. So let's go to Genesis 37, 6, and 11. This is coming from the New Living Transition, okay, the NLT. So Genesis 37, 6, and 11. Joseph said, we were out in the field. He's telling this dream. Remember we talked about he was given a dream, and that dream was just so built up in him that he just had to tell somebody. I got to tell you. You know how it is. People run to you. Ooh, girl, you know, let me tell you this. And don't you dare think that men don't gossip. They are. Don't even go there. It's not true. They're imperfect just like we are. So he says the journey. He runs to his brothers. And he says, we were out in a field tying up bundles of grain. He says he and his brothers, who are many, said we were out in a field tying up bundles of grain. He said, and suddenly my bundle stood up and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine. Well, again, I want you to go back and read the story. But let me just key in on something for you, bringing you up to game. Of the two wives, Joseph's mom was the favorite between the two sisters. Even though Leah had given the most kids, still, Joseph's mom was the favorite, okay? So now they already feel some kind of way because their dad really loves Joseph, but he shows something that they consider to be favoritism. So now, here's this little brat. They're looking at it that way. The little youngest brother of all. And here he stands telling them of his dream. And again, the dream. We were out in the field tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly, my bundle stood up and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before me. So now let's go to Genesis 37. The next, we're going to go, that was 6. Let's go to 8. That was actually 6 and 7. 8 says, his brothers now respond. So you think you will be our king? Do you? Do you actually think you will reign over us? And they hated him all the more. Why? Because of his dreams. And the way he talked about them, just talking about it over again, they hated him all the more. Genesis 37 and 9. Soon Joseph had another dream. And again, what did he do? He told his brothers about it. He goes to them. He goes, listen. I've had another dream. They're like, I don't want to hear nothing about you or your dream. But here he goes, right? I've had another dream, he said. The sun, moon, and 11 stars bowed low before me. Wow. Bowed low before me. Genesis 37:10. This time, he told the dream to his father as well as to his brothers. And so, but his father scolded him. His father said, what kind of dream is this, Joseph? What kind of dream is this, he asked. He said, will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow to the ground before you? Is that what you're saying? I want to get it right. Is that what you're saying? Jacob is just like, I need to get clear of this, clarity. So now we move down to verse 11. So he says, but while his brothers were jealous of Joseph, his father started to wonder what the dream really meant. He's a man of God, so he knows that there's something going on. What does this dream really mean? You know, Ecclesiastes 3 and 7 tells us that there's a time to be silent and a time to speak. Says there's a time to be silent and there's a time to speak. How do you know, Samson? Anybody know Samson? Remember the story of Samson and Delilah? Anybody heard about the strength that Samson had, the power that he had, and how everyone in the village just, he just outstood them. He outpowered them. Not in a mean way. It was a blessing that was bestowed upon him, but everyone was so jealous of it. They wanted to know, what is the secret? And they tried everything they could to get that secret of what made him, gave him his powers. What gave him up? And so, they tried different things and they could not get the secret out. But what is one of the witnesses throughout the Bible for men and throughout today and I'm sure tomorrow for men? Women, right? Yeah. So Samson gave the secret to his strength to a woman, Delilah, not knowing that she was just a hired hand. She didn't care anything about him. She was just a hired hand. The men of the village had hired her to go get that secret out of him. I don't care what you have to do. You get that secret out of him. And he, for a while, did just like he did the villagers. Nah, can't tell this. But a woman has a way of working her wiles, right? And make a man weak. So Samson gave the secret to his strength, and it cost him his life. Eventually, it cost him his life. He was blind, all kind of things. He couldn't keep his mouth shut because he looked at Delilah and he listened to Delilah for so long, and she got in his head, she got in his spirit, she got in his mind, and he gave up the secret. It was his hair. He said, if you cut my hair, I'd be weaker than anybody. If you cut my hair, I lose all my power. It was his hair. I'm telling you, my sisters and brothers, people can seduce you out of your blessing. People can seduce you out of your dreams. They like to catch you young. They like to catch young girls and young boys and start to mess up the visions of, oh, I'm going to college and I'm going to be this. And you have your dreams and your goals and a plan set. And some old head comes and seduce you out of your blessing, seduce you out of your dreams. So in our closing, our scriptures are Proverbs 17. We're going to be doing Proverbs 17, 27, and 28. And then we're going to jump to Proverbs 21, 23. So Proverbs 27 and 28, Proverbs 21, 23. Here we go. See where we're at. Samson, we just spoke about that. Again, another way that people can seduce you out of your blessing. Think about your life. Think about where you're at right now. Who's around you? Just look around your surroundings. Check out who is with you right now. Who's around you? Who's checked on you? Who's trying to help you? Who's trying to give positive thoughts to you? Or who's standing there beside you saying, I knew they weren't going to let you do this. I knew you wasn't going to get that job. I knew you wasn't going to get in. No, this is just not your time to do it. Who is it? Who's with you? They may love you. They may say that they love you like Delilah said, and seduce you out of your blessing. Hallelujah. I knew your God wasn't going to allow you to do that. Proverbs 17:20 says, a truly wise person uses few words. And that may cut a little bit. Just get your Band-Aid. Just apply pressure until you can learn to do better. Continue to learn. Continue to grow. You want to be a wise person. A truly wise person uses few words. A person with understanding is even-tempered. You say, how did you just stand there and you didn't say nothing when they said all that to you? You're even-tempered. You have a true understanding. You are a wise person. You have few words to say about that situation because it really and truly, they don't make me or break me. I got things to do. I got places to go. And they don't have the vehicle to take me where I need to go. They haven't showed me the vision. They're not even a part of God's plan for my life right now. So I could waste time here cussing and fussing and arguing and bickering and battering with you, which is going to lead to a bigger hold. And now we got to fight. And now we got to go to jail. We got to go to court. I lose custody of the kids. I lose my job. And only thing I truly had to do is be calm, be still, be wise. A truly wise person uses few words. A person with understanding, not of what's going on, but understanding of what God is speaking to you. Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Not this person who's lying on you, not the one who's saying all these negative things. Just be still and come and just know that I am God. And I will exalt. I will be exalted through all the nations. And I will be exalted in the earth. That means I'm going to lift you up above this. Because I'm lifted up, I will carry you. I will lift you up out of that situation. Walk away from it. I got something else for you. Proverbs 17:28. It follows by saying this. Fools are thought wise when they keep silent. Even fools are thought wise when they keep silent. With their mouths shut. You don't know if that's a fool or not. It could be the biggest fool around here. The village fool. But you, if you stand there, keep your mouth shut. Be wise when they keep silent with their mouth shut. They seem intelligent. You know, you ever met anybody, they have the intelligent looking glasses, they have the attire, they just stand in there and looking, and then they start to speak, and it's just like, oh, this is the village fool. Okay. Yeah. Let's read that same verse, 28, in the CEV version, which is the Contemporary English Version. I love. Contemporary English Version, the CEV. It says it's like this. It says, it makes a lot of sense to be a person of few words and to stay calm. Even fools seem smart when they are quiet. Proverbs 21:23 is promised, and this is out of the NLT, New Living Standard, a New Living Transition. It says, watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. Yeah. So what do? If you watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, then you will stay out of trouble. Yeah, but they just did this here. Did you see them look at me the way they looked at me? Yeah, I was in eighth grade when I dealt with a situation like that, and I jumped right on it. That was in eighth grade. I'm no longer in eighth grade. Mm-mm. It didn't stop that girl from looking at me. I don't care how bad you beat her up. It did not stop her from looking at me wrong. Now she just, her and her family was looking at me crazy. We got to learn something. We got to get somewhere. Watch your tongue. And keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. I tell you, wise people, now that goes along, though, with what we had said earlier. Though. That goes right along with the little saying that you, I'm sure you have heard of many times, too. And it talks about, you know, somebody just, you don't know if this is a wise person or a fool. Yeah, you really don't know. You really don't know, right? Just by looking at somebody, unless you know that person, unless you know their history, you know, and then you can say, oh, yeah, that's the fool. That's the village fool. Don't want to we'll just keep it as that. But I tell you, until you open your mouth, it's better to for somebody to doubt. They may think you're a fool, but you're silent, so they don't really know. But it's better to be thought of as a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. So that just goes right along with the scripture we just read here, Proverbs 21:23 and 17:27, all matches there together. You know, wise people talk because they have something to say. Wise people talk because they have something to say. Fools talk just to say something. A fool's talk, they just want to have something. They don't know what they're talking about. They just want to say something. Fools talk because they just want to say something. You know, they feel like that everybody else in the conversation is saying all this stuff, and you'd be like, that's deep. That's pretty deep. So you just open your mouth. A fool will just open their mouth. And they'll just say something. It's ignorant. It makes no sense. What are you talking about? Who let him in? Who let her in? Go take her in a pretty dress and her high heels. Go take this and that and get that gentleman out of here. It's a fool talking. Once they open their mouth, there's no doubt that's who they are. Let God arise and your enemies be scattered. Let God arise. He said, and his enemies will scatter. In your life, when you let God arise, all those battles that you're trying to fight, all those things that you're trying to understand, let God arise and your enemies be scattered. How do you do that again? You come into an intimate relationship with God. You got to learn how to be still, be quiet, and what? Keep your mouth shut. You got to choose this day. Are you going to be represented as a fool or as a wise person? Remember, a truly wise person uses few words. A truly wise person has understanding. A truly wise person is even-tempered. They don't just fly off the handle. You don't know me. I got a temper. I know. That's what fools do. Yeah. You got to choose which one you are. And when you start practicing that, you get better at that, and you'd know it because you hear people say also, wow, I love that better. I know I've changed because normally I would have did this. I would have did that. And you just keep right on practicing, and believe me, look around us. You're going to have so much time for practice. If God gives you breath to breathe and live, this is nothing that you have to worry about. It's so many people doing so many ignorant things, doing so many dangerous things all around you that you're going to have opportunities come to you that you're going to be, oh, God, I made that. I made it through that because I gave it over to you, because I didn't hold it in my heart. I didn't allow it to build up. I gave that to you, and I asked you to fill me back up with kindness, love, and patience, and I was able to go through and get through that situation. Let God arise and your enemies be scattered. You know, Jesus was perfect, and he had enemies. He had enemies. We're not perfect. So you know we've got enemies out here. I don't care what your platform looks like. You've got enemies. Everyone is not going with you to that next level that God is trying to take you to. Everyone's not going to the next level with you. You're going to have to leave some people behind. Some visions and testimonies, you're going to have to keep it between you and God. You're not going to be able to share that with your boy because your boy will get jealous. Boy doesn't see that vision in their life. He hasn't had the dreams that God has given to you. Your boy, your family, your friends, your foes, they're going to turn against you. They'll try to block your blessings. They'll try to cut you down. They'll try to make you understand that you ain't nobody. You ain't no better than me. You ain't getting out of this situation like I'm not getting out of. You beginning to sell drugs, you're always going to sell drugs. You got all these baby mamas that you can't take care of these kids, you're always going to be that person. But you got to let them know. Things are about to change. You just can't share your dreams and your blessings with everyone. Everybody say, oh, yeah, I pray for you. Yeah, they're going to pray that you stay down just where they are. They're good as long as they are a little bit higher than you. They're doing just a little bit better than you. Yeah, they're good with you. But now let you try to raise up. Let God try to bless you. You try to tell them, hey, you know what? I gave my life to the Lord today. Yeah. Wow, this is going to be totally different. Really? Well, come on, let's go get high. Come on, you know, it's on me tonight. Anything to keep you down. But you get wiser as you go along. And you say, no, I want this real bad. I want this real, I want to change. I want to change. Hallelujah. I'm going to keep this between me and God. No, dude, I'm thinking not tonight. You don't want to smoke? No, I don't want to smoke tonight. Judge, I'm looking for a new change. I don't try the streets. I don't try trusting in the promiscuous beds, and I don't try to lie and cheat. I don't try it all that. So, no, I'm going to try God. I'm going to try God. Oh, man, you ain't no fun no more. I'm sorry you feel that way, but I'm going to try God. I'm going to try God. You know, when Jesus was being questioned by Pilate about what the people were saying about him, you know, they were saying, they say you're the king of the Jews. They said that, and they said this, and they said that. And they're waiting on Jesus to stand up and with this big defense story and pull out his legal terms and start to defend himself. But for the most part, Jesus stayed silent. Jesus stayed silent. Some of you are standing on the edge of the greatest breakthrough in your life right now. You're standing on the edge of the greatest breakthrough in your life. Remember, death and life is in the power of the tongue. Satan can't read your mind, but as you speak it into the atmosphere, he can use what you speak against you. He can use what you speak against you. You know, again, the year 5784, Rosh Hashanah. Here we go. We're getting ready to go in on the 15th as the Hebraic New Year. Amen. You know, we all started before the Gregorian calendar that we go by. The Hebraic is what they were going by back in Jesus' time. So the Hebraic New Year, 5784, starts at sundown on September 15th. And then you may say, well, I only go by the calendar. Well, I go by both, so I get two New Years. But if you're looking for 2024 in January, I'm telling you, either way, you've got to start declaring to yourself that this year, New Year is going to be an amazing year for you. Can you say that? This New Year is going to be an amazing year for me. It's going to be an awesome year for me. It's going to be an amazing year for my kids. For my family, God has blessed you in the past. Yes, he has, over and over again. But for you that are going into this new season, what is coming, it can't even compare to any of the blessings in your past. So again, in 5784, or in January 2024, friends, foes, family may think that you're crazy to just boldly say that this is my season and it's going to be amazing, but say it anyway. They don't know your dreams. They're not ready. They need to stay in the wilderness. They need to stay on the rough side of the mountain. They have more time that they're going to be experiencing low valley moments. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they may think you're crazy when you start to boldly say, this is my season, and it's going to be amazing. As I leave you, will there be trials and tribulations? Yes, it will be. But for so many of them, the trials and the tribulations, you've been in that valley long enough to know you're ready to come out. You've learned your lesson. You've come up the rough side of the mountain. You've been in the wilderness. You've ate the manna. You're ready to move on to a higher level. You know if I go to a higher level, I'm gonna have different demons after me. That's okay. Now I've learned something. Those trials and tribulations that's going to come, God said, I've overcome all of them. So he's the branch, and I'm the vine. If I reside in him, if I fall off of him, I can't grow any fruit. But as long as I stay connected to that branch, I can produce good fruit. So for many of the potholes, the trials and the tribulations, we'll be able to just hop right over instead of falling each time. Because now we recognize that ain't nothing but the devil. That's not for me. That's against me. I'm not going in there. No, I'm not going to take a hit of that. No, she looked good, but I can't touch that. Some can say, I've been there. I've bought and I've even outgrown the t-shirt. I don't reside there anymore. This is my true coming out party. Hallelujah. Father God, bless every ear, every heart, every spirit that is opened up to receive just what you have for them. Hallelujah. Blessings upon them. Blessings upon their household. Blessings on their family. Oh, Lord, speak to them in their dreams and visions. Give them whatever it is that they need. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles 20:17. God's word says, you will not need to fight in this battle. This one here, you're not going to need to fight in this one. It said, position yourself. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. I love you, but God loves you more. I am Minister Vaughn Dimas out of sunny San Antonio, Texas. I welcome your comments. Please rate the show. I've had a great time here with you tonight, and we are going to close for tonight. I invite you to join in at any time that we are here live. You can also buy CDs so you can have them at your own time to go back over, teach it to your loved one. So until the next time, you be good. Get that intimacy relationship going with Jesus Christ. Move forward. I'll see you later. God bless you. Good night.